Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. We've got something. Doc's got something so exciting. I can't wait for you to hear it. This is big. This is a big prophetic piece of information that I just heard in the update we just did that's on YouTube. And you're going to get to hear it now. And I can't wait. So get your glass of water, get some popcorn, whatever you need. Call your neighbors. Tell them, hey, Brother Goodwin's on. Brother Hiltabiddle's on. Prophecy in the Spotlight's on. And right after the music, the introduction, we're going to start. We're going to talk about Israel. We're going to talk about what's getting ready to happen and what it means prophetically. And I think some of you are going to be pretty excited when you hear this. Stand by. Hey, everybody. This is so exciting, what we're going to talk. We're going to talk about Israel. Doc's going to do most of the talking. We got about eight slides, Doc, mm-hmm. eight slides that we're going to put up yeah. for you to be able to see. And Doc, I just went nuts a little while ago when I heard this for the first time. And I'm not going to give it away. Doc's going to share with you. You're going to talk about what's going on in the world, especially as it has to do with Israel, with the Psalm 83 thing, mm-hmm. the Isaiah 17 thing, and what's getting ready to happen in Israel. Now, I do want to warn you, this is pre-recorded. The date today is October 12th. You're not going to see this till probably the first or second week of November. And by the way, some of the things that Doc's going to tell you about are probably may already have happened from the time of this recording. And, okay, Doc, go ahead. I'll throw it over to you.
Well, she can put up the first slide there. And there's a sequence of events, and I think these prophetic events are in the scripture for us. I've studied this for a long, long time, and I got to thinking this week about the sequence that I feel that I've gotten a sense from Scripture on, and I may be wrong. I wouldn't be the first time I was wrong, probably about in 10 years. But anyway, but this is what I get the sense that the sequence of events, prophetic things that are recorded, and some of the places, of course, everybody knows about Ezekiel 38 and chapter 36 and 37, which are leading up to getting Israel ready for where they are today. Psalms 83, we'll talk about here in a few moments. Isaiah 17, Isaiah 19. One of the places that I think people haven't taken into consideration in the sequence of events between where we are today and Ezekiel 38. I think there's some things that are going to play into this to get us to that place. I know everybody's thinking that what Israel's in now is going to be, some of them think it's going to be right there at Ezekiel 38. I do know that Ezekiel 38 and the list of names that is in Psalms 83 are two distinct different lists.
Right.
And so but most people haven't, I think, not taken into consideration Jeremiah chapter 48 and 49. They have to play into all of this. I believe somewhere between we are today and the moment of Ezekiel 38. And what really got my attention was over the last 2 weeks, after Iran sent a couple of hundred missiles, ballistic missiles, over to Israel, everybody's been waiting. What's Israel going to do? Israel's going to do something. Mm-hmm. They're definitely going to do something. And I think while I've been thinking on this, that's when I began to put the years of study in all of this area together in my mind. And I thought, oh, I see how this could this and this to this to that. And so that's what I want to try to do today. And there are a lot of other scriptures besides this that we look at. Look at the next slide that I've got prepared for you. A lot of people don't realize that in your Bible, the only Bible I use is the King James. I suppose they're in all the rest of the Bibles. But anyway, there are nine wars that are recorded in the Bible that are to take place.
In other words, that haven't happened yet.
That haven't happened yet. I think what we're seeing right now is the first one of these, and that's the Battle of Psalms 83. I really believe that's because what's described in Psalms 83 has never happened before. And the ancient names that are in Psalms 83, when you lay that map over the top of a modern-day map, then you can understand who these players are. And they are basically, as Luke points out, when you see the fig tree and all the trees. We talked about that a few months back. Yep. So. All the trees are the nations that border Israel. And that's the nations that are involved in Psalms 83. And I've taught for years that at some point in time, Israel will be fighting a five-front war. Well, today they're telling it's seven fronts. And I believe we're watching this fulfillment. Secondly, is a battle that's recorded in Ezekiel 38 and 39. That would be the next major war for Israel. And then the third one is in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, conventional wars, the Red Horse Riders.
Now, are these in the order as you see it, or are you sure?
These are the orders as they're given in Scripture in sequence of time.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
And then the fourth one is the war that takes place in heaven in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. And then the sixth one is the war against the Jews and the saints that follows that. And then the seventh one is the Middle East campaign that when you go over to chapter 11 of the book of Daniel, you realize that in the latter part of that era of time, the Antichrist is going to trample over the pleasant land. He's having to deal with the king of the north, the king of the south. And then the eighth one is the Battle of Armageddon. And then there's going to be the final battle, the one that's the abolition of war, is at the end of the millennial reign. So there are these nine wars that are recorded for us in the Bible that are yet future. And so I'm convinced that Israel right now is involved in Psalms 83. Now, I know not everybody agrees that it's a battle, but as an appreciatory psalm, they call up in remembrance, as if God needed reminding, three different times in Israel's history when God stepped in and delivered them. And so it's asking for God's divine help in deliverance against these enemies.
So who are these people in Psalm 83 as you see it?
We'll get to that here in just a minute.
Okay.
We'll get to that chart here in just a minute. Put the next one up, if you would. Because we hear a lot of people talking about the Palestinians, and the term Palestine is a name that the Romans gave to a large area called the Levant. The Levant area was called Palestine, named that by the Roman Emperor in 135 A.D., at the last time they squashed the final rebellion of the Jews, in order to remove their remembrance and historical connection to the land. Mm. So you're having people today who are trying to claim that the present Palestinians are the descendants of the Philistines. That is nowhere near historically true. The Philistines were not Arabs. The Philistines were from Crete and from southern Europe that had migrated into that area. And over a period of time, they're gone again. And So they get their name. So here's what happened in the area of the of Philistine. There were three groups of people. You had the first group of people that were living in the area were Arabs. And they are descendants of Ishmael. So here's the picture. There's three groups of people living in what was called Palestine at the time, after 135 AD. You had Arabs, who were descendants of Ishmael. You had Jews, or Israelites, who are the descendants of Israel, or actually of Isaac. Those two back there, okay. And then you had a third group of people, which were a mixed group of people who call themselves Palestinian because of geography. So when people say that they're an Arab, okay, you've got an ancestry line all the way back to Ishmael.
Yeah.
A Jew can say, I've got an ancestry line all the way back to Isaac. The Palestinians say, well, I have an ancestry back to... Well, it's the geography in which I am.
Yeah.
And so they're not a people's group. They're a mixed group. And so I wanted people to understand that. And so as a result, the next slide you can put up, they have adopted not a new term. It's a lot of people think this from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. This is not anything new. It's really an old saying that has been revived again. And that's what Psalms 83 is about right now. Iran is, with all of her surrogates surrounding Israel, is doing everything they can to do what? Drive Israel into the sea, drive them out.
Mm-hmm.
So the question then is, who has the right to the land? So the answer is, I believe, in the Abrahamic covenant. Now, I'm convinced that the Abrahamic covenant is, I know everybody says there's going to be a peace treaty, and I'm not saying there won't be something that's maybe signed, a peace treaty, but I'm convinced it's just the confirming of an existing covenant.
Yeah, which had to do with property.
Property.
And
when you study the law, Dan, and you realize when God gave the law, he gave it to the Jews, and as long as they would abide by the law, they could live peaceably in the land.
Yeah.
So everybody's trying to say, well, to be a good Christian today, you gotta do this and that of the Jewish customs. Wait a minute. All of the things that God gave to the Jews was so that they could live at peace in their land. A lot of people miss that anyway. Yeah. And so now put the next one up, and this will answer the question we talked about a minute ago.
And while she's doing that, the covenant, he confirms the covenant
yes.
with many for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you and I agree on this. We believe that the Antichrist is going to confirm to the world that property, more than what they have now,
yeah.
the property belongs to the Jew. He's going to do that to get on their side, their support.
I am convinced of it. It's only in our King James Bible that it says confirm the covenant.
Yeah. Not a covenant, the covenant.
The covenant.
It's got to be the Abrahamic
covenant. Specific.
It
has to be. And I think he'll simply, the Antichrist, I believe, who is seen in Daniel 9, verse 27, the Antichrist is going to eventually declare himself to be God. So I think he's going to say on God's behalf, this is what we did. This is what we did in the past through to your father Abraham. You Ishmaelites, we gave you all of this out here. You go and be happy. You Israelites, we gave you this. Now build your temple and be happy. Anyway, I think that's what's going to be. Everybody said, well, there's going to be a 7-year peace treaty. You don't find anywhere in Daniel other than the fact that you know it's a 7-year period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It does not say the covenant is
right.
7 years.
Right.
But anyway, so put up that next. All right. Now, you ask, who were these people? Well, the tents of Edom are the Palestinians of southern Jordan. The Ishmaelites are the Saudis, and who are the father of the Arabs. And then Moab, that's the Palestinians in central Jordan. And the Hagarenes, some believe that's Egyptians, but it probably is a group that was in southern Syria that bordered Jordan today in that area. But and Gebal, that's Hezbollah in northern Lebanon. Hmm. And Ammon, that's the Palestinians in northern Jordan. And then Amalek, that's Arabs in the Sinai Peninsula. And then the Philistia, that's Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Tyre, that's Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. And Assyria, that's your Syrians and northern Iraqis. These are all the people that right now are involved in this war against Israel.
You mean like he talks about there's war on every side.
Yes.
And they're there. It's those people.
It's those people.
Yeah.
Because you take that name that's on the left side of that chart, and you get a map of the time. You get a map that's about 3,000 years old, and then you put that over the top of a modern map. Look where all those names are, and this is what you'll discover. The people that are involved in Psalms 83 are the people that are involved right now in war against Israel.
Okay.
Now, I know there's an outside instigator. Now, their cause is called the Edomite cause. The nation of Edom is the descendants of Esau.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was they are playing on history. They are going all the way back to the days of Abraham and Isaac. And they're going back to the time and saying that Jacob was given something that should have been given to Esau. We covered this a few months ago too, but here's the thing. They are believing and they're teaching, especially in Islam, that the promised land never belonged to the second born. It belonged to the firstborn, Esau.
Yeah.
So their descendants are called Edomites. And so what you're seeing in the Palestinian movement over there today is a play on history of saying that the land never should have been given to the descendants or today the progenitors, the people of Israel. This should have been given to Esau. So their cause to get the land away from the Jews is called the Edomite cause.
And humanly speaking, they're right. He was the firstborn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, he sold his birthright.
He sold his birthright because a birthright included spiritual responsibilities. And God knew in the womb that he despised his birthright. That meant he despised the responsibility spiritually that was going to befall him.
Yeah.
So.
And we have the same problem back with Sarah and Abraham.
Yeah.
With Isaac and Ishmael.
Two
same
groups
thing.
Together.
Ishmael was the firstborn.
Yep.
He's 12 years old when Isaac's born. And
exactly,
but Isaac's the son of promise. He's the one God
chose.
That's it. Same problem.
Same problem. And amazingly, Esau, when he doesn't get his birthright that he thought he would get, even though he sold it, he goes down to the first generation that had been what he thought cheated and marries one of his daughters. So the plot thickened anyway.
Yeah.
And so put up the next slide, because here's what people need to understand. Is there any hope for this Edomite cause? Well, listen to what Obadiah has to say about it in chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble.
Stubble.
And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And so Obadiah and Malachi also talks about there's no hope for them because God has had a determination from that point forward it won't happen. So look at the next slide. And in Jeremiah, here's where we are today. We are getting Hezbollah is whatever time frame it's going to take for Israel to continue to deal with Hezbollah. I don't know. Weeks, months, I'm not sure. But right now, what's happening in Jordan, as of 2 days ago at this time, they have appointed a new prime minister under the King of Jordan. And the hardcore Islamic section has now the largest section in their makeup of their, what we would call a Congress. The streets are being filled with, because many of the people in Jordan have people living in Gaza. Many of them are calling themselves Palestinians because they really don't have any Arab ancestry to hold on to. So as a result, they're marching in the streets. They are wanting their government to go against Israel. And I know back in April, whenever Iran shot some rockets over, Jordan got involved in helping Israel. I don't think that's going to happen next time because the things are changing. So if you go to Jeremiah chapter number 48, and we'll not take time to look at it, but that whole chapter is about the center section of what's modern day Jordan. It's Moab. And the prophecy against Moab is laid out in chapter 48. Chapter 49, the verse 6 verses, is concerning, he said it's concerning the Ammonite. In other words, this is Ammon. That's where the capital is. That's the northern part of Jordan. And so there's he's giving them warning that this is going to happen in chapter 48. The middle section of Jordan is going to be done away with. Now he's saying in chapter 49, the upper section. And then verse 7 through 22 is the southern section. He says concerning Edom. So what you have in these, in chapter 48 and chapter 49 through verse 22, you have all of Jordan has prophecy of doom against it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if they get involved in this war, that's what's going to happen to them. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I can see they're aligning themselves for it right now. And Israel has been a friend to them, and but that doesn't matter to them. Then in verse 23 through 28 is Damascus again. Well, you find that over in Psalms, what is Isaiah 19 or 17. And you'll find then in verse 28 through 33, Kedar, that's a part of modern-day Jordan, southern Syria, up in that section. This may be a part of the corner of modern-day Iraq. We're seeing all of those involved right now. And then Jeremiah 49, I want to see this in verse 34. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam. That's the southwest corner. When this prophecy was written by Jeremiah, 60 years after that, the Persian Empire absorbed the kingdom of Elam, which you can find all the way back in the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis. And the kingdom of Elam is brought in. So this prophecy now is what we would call in Iran. This is where the Bashir nuclear power program is. This is where a lot of their nuclear program is. So let's bring this into what I'm seeing now. I can see they're in Psalms 83. I can see all those players. I could see how easy it's going to be for Jordan to succumb to the Islamic pressure, get involved, and get themselves taken out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
If Israel does what I suspect they'll do, they're going to hit the nuclear program in maybe down there in the country originally Elam. Let me give you what the Bible says in that. I know time's going to run out, so I got it written out here so I could read it because my eyes aren't really good anymore. He said in verse number 35, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And then he says, Elam will bring the four winds from the four quarters of the heavens. I'll scatter them toward the winds, and there shall no place in whether the outcast of Elam shall not come. This is a prophecy that has never been fulfilled in history. Hmm. So here's what I see. The bow is a launching mechanism. All of prophecies written in terminology that every era of time has been able to understand it. If I'm right, and I might not be, but if Iran, if Israel, I mean, strikes the nuclear program and Iran is unable to be able to launch that nuclear warhead that they're almost ready to finish, and this would indicate that there's going to be such a calamity from it that hordes of people who are bound underneath Islamic rule in Iran will be free to go into the rest of the world. Because in the last verse, it says in verse 39, and it shall come to pass in the latter day that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. And if he's going to bring them, they've got to be scattered. It's never happened yet. So if Israel bombs that, the fallout may cause the people to be able to be free like this. And what I'm seeing, Dan, is this. Jordan is going to be laid away. Lebanon is getting laid away right now. The Gaza's been laid away. All of the proxies, and Syria is decimated. Mm-hmm. Russia has got her camps down in Syria. They're already saying, Israel, don't you do this. There'll be consequences. And Israel is no doubt going to do it. And as a result, Iran will no longer have any proxies to call out. They've already discovered that their launching mechanism can't affect it anyway. They're going to call on Erdogan out of Turkey because he's already calling all the Islamic world together. They're going to call in the chips. Russia, we have given you billions of dollars in material, your drones for up there, and in that battle you've been involved with up there. Now you come down and help us. And that'll be Ezekiel 38. I can see one step right to the next to the next.
So all these little things are going to lead up to the one thing that we're all waiting for.
That's right.
The Ezekiel 38 war.
I'm convinced.
Which we think is going to end probably at the rapture.
I might be wrong, and it wouldn't be the first time, but I am taking Scripture and realizing where we're at right now. I can see these steps easily to follow to bring you to Ezekiel 38.
In other words, folks, Iran being taken out by Israel, maybe already by the time you watch this program, or coming soon, could, in fact, what Doc is saying, lead to the Ezekiel 38 war, which is the end. I mean, the rapture is right in the corner.
Amen.
All right, something to think about. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.